You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Well, well, well. Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to another very special episode of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. Extraordinarily, after the shambles that we made of it 12 months ago. It wasn't quite 12 months ago, actually, was it? It was about 6 or 7 months ago, given the way these seasons have all converged on each other. We have been handed the keys, once again, to the Pickstar RPA Awards for 2021. The awards that recognise the players who have stood out on and off the field over the last 12 months or so. Pickstar, for those of you who don't know, are of course a place to book well-known identities for virtual or in-person events, marketing campaigns, guest speaking, brand ambassadorships, skills clinics, or anything else that you can imagine. If you'd like to know more, please head to pickstar.pro.gb for more details. It's very nice to welcome in to the sidecar for the 2021 Pickstar RPA Awards. A very large sidecar it is too. James Haskell, how are you?
Oh, well, sir, how are you?
I'm all right. Are you on Pickstar? You're on most of them. And if you're not on there, why not?
But you know why? Because I'm too busy making fabulous content to be doing anything other than that. And also, yeah, you know me. One day I'm a professional shooter, the next day a DJ, the next day a podcaster, author. It's very difficult to know exactly what I'm doing. So I try to limit what I'm doing. But I'm very excited. You know, I might even get onto it, but I don't think I'm very good at it.
Readers, listeners, ladies and gents, if you'd like more of James Haskell, head to pickstar.pro.gb, where he will be available for any in-person events, marketing campaigns, guest speaking, brand ambassadorships, skills clinics. Not sure we'll have too many of those in there. Or anything else that you can imagine. Very nice to have their support for the awards this year, which are going to go all over the place a little bit. Understandably, it's been a heck of a challenging season. There have been all sorts of trials and tribulations. Nice to be back in, I was going to say blue, but black tie for this. You look as if you're off to the Crucible to play a bit of snooker.
Thank you. I mean, this is the first time I've been able to dress up in however many months. It's actually quite nice. You know, it's a bit hot in the what looks like a blind sales room, but it's I quite like it, actually, getting foofed up. I've got the cufflinks on. I've done everything.
Oh,
I
mean,
I feel like if they're looking for a new James Bond after Daniel Craig, perhaps they'd look no further than me. And also, they saw my acting in that promotional video we did.
Yes, Mark's out of 10 for your promotional video. I thought it was quite good.
I'm going to say I was right up there, about 8.5. I think, you know, do you know what? It's actually being the professional digger driver that I am, it's very hard to make it look bad, but I managed to do that, which I thought was very kind of JCB to let me play around. But there was some distinct nerves and sort of clenching of teeth and sort of lots of people looking on as if to say, you know, let's just keep this moderately safe.
Good. While we're doing a little bit of brand love, I don't know if you can see it, but there, just very subtly product placement, just a little bottle of Bollinger. Lovely to have them back this year as well. Have you got yours to hand or have you drunk it?
No, I've got it to hand.
It's just chilling in the fridge, in the ice bucket.
To keep it away from Chloe, that's the thing. Anything nice, I come in and she's had her mitts all over it. And so I have to sort of try to buy kind of less well-known sort of drinking gear for her to get, you know, to get into.
And then gear?
Yeah, and then I put, well, you know what I mean? You know, because I just tried to phase her with a bottle of Lambrini, and then I hide the Bollinger for myself and I just swap the labels over. But it is here, actually. It's in the other room and I will get it for later on in the awards. And at some point, I may or may not open it. I don't think it's sufficiently chilled. But James Bond drunk Bollinger.
Right.
I think there's a theme tonight.
Yes, there is. There really is, isn't there? I was going to use the expression champagne showers, but someone told me the other day that wasn't what I thought it was. And I think the last time we did this, I also asked Tom Smith if he Netflixed and chilled.
Yes.
Which, again, wasn't what I thought it was. So let's just try and keep on the straight and narrow as much as possible over the course.
I think, though, with champagne showers, I mean,
acceptable
showers is not what you
right okay you perfect
like that. Champagne showers there. I think it's something champagne showers is something okay. I think it's sort of where rich Muppets spray each other with it, but
that's
maybe
what I,
I'm wrong. I've been out the loop. I've been married for a long time. I don't know, maybe it's not what the new kids are doing.
That's what I thought, although the rich kids may have moved the meaning on once again. A quick couple of things that are very important. Last time we did this, my wife reminded me that the tie made me look a little bit like a sort of bobblehead / Thunderbird. I just want to make sure that we've got some very worthy winners on. I don't want any achievements over the last season to be detracted from by the size of my head. I don't know whether it's mild elephantitis. Are we all right at this point? Or am I looking a bit odd?
No, you look fine. I mean, you do have quite a large head. I mean, actually, now you're
coming from you.
That's absolutely right. Well,
you're half horse.
But it's in proportion. Right. Like, you look like you've got a sort of a tiny little, spindly neck. It's like an onion on a toothpick. It looks like from here, but okay. I think it's because you've got a fisheye lens. And
let's blame the fisheye lens. If anyone does collect an award this evening and you don't get due recognition because my head is looking oversized, I can only apologise and I will send you a lovely note in the meantime. A quick word before we get into the runners and riders, just on the RPA itself, which has had a hell of, not I was going to say a year, but it's been a hell of a couple of years, actually, on all sorts of different fronts. Still gainfully involved as a trustee? You've lost a few deals recently.
But our erstwhile producers just explained to me what champagne showers is. And
yeah, let's not get back to that.
No, it's not going.
Was I right or wrong?
You were wrong not to talk about it. Let's never mention it again.
Right, OK, move on. Let's mention your role as a trustee of the RPA, though. How much have you got your sleeves rolled up? How much have you got involved? What difference have you made? How important are the RPA right now?
Well, I mean, for me, I haven't been fired from it, which is always quite a good thing. You know, I gauge that by how many sponsors leave me, and they're not sponsoring me, but they're happy to be associated with me for the time being. You know, when this awards goes out, potentially, you know, anything could happen. Now, look, I think it's been a really, really challenging year for Restart. I think, you know, the fact is we've had no fundraising opportunities, no events, no, obviously, RPA dinner, none of these things. And it's meant that we've kind of really had to scrape the bottom of the barrel. But we've had, you know, Ed Jackson did a huge walk to raise money. We did a 15-hour DJ set and got some incredible people to come and join me and play, and we raised about $4,000 or $5,000 from that. We've obviously had the Rig Biz.
We have to mention that.
Yeah, we do, because he's
he raised well on the fundraiser.
He's raised $4,000 for the for Restart, releasing a Christmas single.
Fair play. That is selling your soul for the greater cause, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, actually, it was actually better than I thought it was. I mean, you should have heard the first version that he sent to me. It sort of was high tempo and then kind of very much a bit like Damien Rice. Like, it was kind of a bit, you were beginning to question whether you wanted to be on this earth, and then it would go back in again. So, you know, it's all about the lash. So I sort of pointed in the right direction, said you cannot have a Christmas song that brings cheer but also horrific
fear.
Sort of
cheer and tears.
Cheers and tears. So he did brilliantly. And what it's meant was that we were able to keep, you know, supporting the players with, you know, the mental health stuff alone. Because obviously Restart does, you know, amazing work helping people. You see what it did with Michael Fatialofa and everything else that they've done. But the mental health side is probably the most poignant and prominent stuff at the moment. And just because the fundraising stopped didn't mean that the demands on the mental health stuff stopped. And, you know, at one point it was looking like if we didn't get $20,000, the whole charity was going to fall apart and we won't be able to support that. But I think we've managed to get ourselves out. We're in good discussions with the RFU to kick things on a bit. And I think, you know, we're in a good position at the moment and we're still helping people. You know, players are still calling up that hotline, the anonymous hotline, and saying, you know, I'm struggling, help me, I've got these problems. And you know, and it can range from just having a bad day to much more serious stuff. And I think I'm really proud to be part of it. And I think tonight, you know, obviously we're celebrating all that's good about rugby. And I think Restart's been very much part of that as well.
You don't do it very often, but when you do it, you do very good calls to arms. On that note, and obviously, you know, James has explained a little bit about how important it is, about some of the struggles that are going on. We have sold our souls with dear Archie Curzon to do our little bit. If you would like to help over the course of this show, we would love you to get involved. And you can do that by donating £5, £10 or £20 to Restart, the official charity of the RPA, by texting. Get your phones out. Restart 5, and the number is 70460, and that, surprisingly, will donate £5. If you text Restart 10 to 70460, it's the same number every time, that'll donate a tenner, and Restart 20 to 70460, you will be very generously giving £20 to the cause. We cannot thank you enough, those of you who are reaching for your phones, and will do so over the course of this show. It matters, it makes a difference, it is hugely, hugely appreciated. We've got a lot to get through. So let's get into it. Let's start with our first award of the night. It is the Vodafone Gainline Award. It's worth noting that this award is for off-field endeavours, and 95% of players will need another career after they hang up their boots. It's something that we bang on about time and time again. But this award recognises those players who've embraced their off-field development, going above and beyond in their attempts to prepare for life after rugby. And the nominees are Tom Dunn, Josh Ebwanokope, and Craig Traynor. And the winner of this year's Vodafone Gainline Award is... I'd love some drum roll music, please, but we don't have the budget for that. Instead, the winner is Tom Dunn. Tom, welcome. Black tie, awards dues, and you'll wear it. Guns out, good to see. A singlet and an unmade bed. Thanks for bringing the A game. How come you've not even made your bed today?
I've just got out of it, that's why.
No, good.
I wasn't given a memo on the black tie or making the bed today, so this is it, I'm afraid.
Good. Dress for the job you want, not the job you've got, or in this case, you have got a pretty good job. Well done on this award. Tell us a little bit about the story that gets you this award. I want to talk about rugby, etc., and what a remarkable year it's been for you in a moment or two, but just a bit on this award, first of all, what it means to you, how much graft has got into where you are right now, and how much, I suppose, is to come as well?
I think it's probably more for my broader pitch stuff that I've done through the last 3 or 4 years. I've done some coaching qualifications, personal training qualifications. I've done some work experience in some offices and like recruitment and IT and stuff like that, which I now know I definitely don't want to do. So more recently, I've started looking at the butchery stuff. So I've done some work experience in a wholesale and in a shop, Ruby and White in Bristol. Done some culinary courses as such at Vale House Kitchens in Timsbury. So I've been doing bits and bobs outside of it all. And now it's come to the point where we were very close to having a butcher set up in Bath, but with the world being the way it is at the minute, that's unfortunately fallen through. So there's still a plan to go ahead and looking for a new location as such. If anyone knows one, let me know. Yeah, a little butcher's deli, really, to set up something a little bit special, hopefully.
I cannot tell you, and we champion as much as we possibly can, mainly because Hask has been through, well, like you, 45 different attempts to find a career. You've done it, obviously, in a number, but it is so good to see players working it out quickly and getting on with it as well. How much have you enjoyed? Is enjoyment a word I can use in this scenario? How much have you enjoyed the discovery of getting to where you are now with the potentially setting up your own butchery?
Yeah, massively. I take some security in it as well. More than enjoyment, but it's that leap of faith from rugby to the next career. I want to try and have one foot already there, so it's not a massive leap, it's just a step, and that's kind of how I think of it. So the time I can put into it now, I mean, don't get me wrong, playing rugby is hard and it's time consuming, but there is more time than in a normal job, so there is time available to use. So it's more, I enjoy being stimulated other than rugby, and I enjoy the security knowing that there's something there for me.
Will you be wearing the white hat and the coat and chopping bits up, or will you be more of a manager? You're going to be fully involved?
Yeah, fully involved. Obviously, whilst I'm still playing, I'll be less involved with the white hat kind of stuff. But no, my plan is to fully embed myself in it and to, like, I've already started to get hands-on and do what I can. I know I'm just going to pick up a cow, which is a good start. But
yeah. If that's your starting point, Tom, there's a long way to go. Do you want to put beef? Yeah, oh, no, you've given him a lamb. You're like, oh, God.
Red meat and white meat, that's about as far as we've got so far, but no, it's going all right.
The Butcher of Bath is the obvious name, but what do you call it? I mean, and there's a backstory to that, I'm sure. What's the name of the business?
Oh, there's a few ideas floating about. Black and White is actually the main one at the minute.
Good. So
it's a pretty clean cut kind of marketing style to it. You can turn it into blue, black and white on game day, so hopefully it'll be in Bath as well.
Good.
And the place I'm learning to do butchery and the people I'm involved with are called Ruby and White.
Yep.
So it's a combination of all three things, but black and white, meet and eat kind of caption, and away you go.
Pigs might fly? No? That's okay, I'll keep that to myself.
Any part of it put you off eating food? Now you know how to do it and prepare it, because I know for some people it can be a little bit of an eye-opening thing when you actually see an animal in its raw form and you're trying to carve it up and separate it, or has it made you more of a carnivore?
The only thing that's actually put me off is making a black pudding. So like basically,
oh, really?
You get your hand into a bucket up to your elbow in blood and you stir it and it kind of congeals whilst you're stirring it, but I still eat it and I still love it, so yeah, no, that was the only bit I made me think twice, but
very much like very much like being in the front row, similar up to your arm in God knows what, stirring it. And yeah, Jesus.
I suppose this is a sort of profound question here. Are you even a rugby player if you're not Instagramming yourself barbecuing meat at the moment? I mean, who at the moment in Bath is the biggest advocate of what you do, and who is desperate to be a brand ambassador for Black and White TBC?
I do little meat packs for the boys on the weekend anyway.
Do
so
you?
My best customer is actually Rory McConaughey, and it's hard to believe he eats a lot, but he does. Wow.
He looks like a vegetarian, not a sort of meat eating dweller.
He looks like anemic, but actually he's more iron in him, but yeah, actually he's a fair bit. So, but yeah, Rory McConaughey's the biggest buyer at the moment. And then Mikey Williams has a very good braai, as he would call it, but obviously we call it a barbecue, but. Yeah, he's very good.
Good on you. Genuine question. What has been the most important lesson you've learned, not just from, I suppose, identifying butchery, but on the journey that you've been on with regards to finding something else? What is the thing that you take with you at this point?
Probably massive trial now. I mean, I've gone from being a personal trainer in the academy, doing work experience there, to going into a wholesale and abattoir and everything in between. I don't think you can waste any time, whether you spend a day doing it or a week doing it. I think you'll take something from it and take it forward.
Does that attitude come naturally to you, or is it something you've had to work on? Were you always, because, you know, obviously, you know, I've known you for a little while. We didn't get to obviously play together very much, but obviously you're very focused. You love your rugby. You know, you're very clear about that. Did it come naturally to want to do more stuff, or did you have to sort of force it? Was it someone around you that said, listen, Tom, you need to sort this out?
No, it's quite natural, really. I'm a pretty busy person anyway, so I've got two kids and stuff, so I'm always pretty flat out with it all. So for me, I love to keep busy. I love to meet new people. I love to get involved in things. So it kind of went together quite well, you know, trying to meet new people, getting to know people, being busy, trying to work towards something together.
Brilliant.
What was the abattoir like, out of interest? Shocking, wasn't it, right?
Yeah, do you go Rocky in it? Doesn't Rocky train in an abattoir at some point? I can see you doing extras in there with the carcasses.
No, none of that. The people that work there that I find very interesting. So actually James Batty, who's our loose head at the moment, he's a trained killer, I guess is not the right word, but he's a trained licensed abattoir worker. So he did that before rugby.
Does he have a license to kill?
He does have a license to kill. He calls them beasts in his very broad Scottish accent, but yeah, he does have a license to kill the cows.
Okay, the cows, yeah. It's not quite as cool, but we'll give it to him.
Take it.
I want to talk to you about the rugby as well, because the images of you out in Rome off the back of winning your cap were just amazing. I mean, it's sort of symptomatic, really, of the journey you've been on with the business, the journey with the rugby, that you just put it all in until you get to where you want to get to. But becoming an England international and achieving that dream, I mean, do you still sort of bask in the moment, or are you someone that is now, right, I need more, I want more, how do I get more type of thing?
It's a little bit of both, I think. I definitely want more, and I definitely want to push on, and I want to win things, and I want to keep striving. But I still have to pinch myself sometimes. I mean, I got a nice message actually off Al Ryan, who's the Toulouse SSC coach, who was at Bath for 6 or 7 years. He was in Twickenham last week and he took a picture of my name on the board, and it's the first time I've seen it. So things like that. Like, I still pinch myself that my name is up there, but I definitely want more of it, and I'm not satisfied with what I've got.
Good on you. And in terms of Bath at the moment, it's been one of those sort of yo-yo seasons, I suppose, in many regards. But is it a happy camp? Are you guys sort of feeling that you're not too far away from some big wins?
I think happy is a very, like, big term to use. We're sat in ninth, like, we're not happy, no. But are we happy with where we're going? I think we are. I mean, everyone does his end-of-season reviews and analyse themselves from where they were the year before. And although I think, obviously, in the points in the table, we're not where we were last year, I think actually, as a camp and as a team, we're in a good place and we've actually taken a step forward. So, yeah, I'm real positive about what we're doing down here, and I'm keen to crack on again as soon as I can get back on the pitch.
The final question I want to ask is, do you think you're a better player for having something you're really passionate about off the field?
I don't know about player, but I reckon definitely person. As in, as I said earlier, I'm quite a busy man. I've got a lot of things that I like to keep myself busy with, but I feel like if you get too one-dimensional with the rugby, it can almost blinker you slightly, as in, as a person, like as a character and as a rugby player. You know, if you're constantly thinking about these things over in your head, or if you're, you know, constantly on the go with one thing, you don't step back and have a look at it from a different angle. I think having more things in your life allows you to do that.
Amazing. It's great to hear. And genuinely, it is so good to see players who are getting ready for whatever comes next. So full congratulations, not only on getting yourself set up, but also on this award as well. I'm hoping that you might be able to find some sort of premises around Pulteney Bridge. We can swing by for a burger and a bap before too long. I mean, is that the dream? Match day?
That'd be a great location, yes. Yeah, so anyone has a business around there, let me know. That'd be fantastic.
Great. We'll put the call to arms out. Put us down for two burgers next time we're down at the Wreck. Good luck with everything in the meantime, Tom. And hopefully you find a window in your very busy day to make the bed before your next awards due. But until then, good on you. Many congratulations. And we'll hope to catch up soon.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
Good on him. I know we bang on about it, and I don't mean to bang on about it, and there'll be loads of players who roll their eyes at it, but it, as someone who's come out of the game and has built a media empire, amongst other things, you cannot stress enough the importance just to find a little something, a bit of trial and error, as he said. I'm really excited for him on that front.
I love it. I love it. I think it's, you know, the spice of life is you know, broadening your horizons. You know, you get one body, you get one mind, and you should always permanently be trying to develop it. I think his point about being quite blinkered if you just focus on rugby is one thing. I think actually what's exciting is when we first started this journey under different guys and stuff, we would talk about players probably weren't doing stuff. Now you look around the Premiership, there's these little stories, you know, Jamie George with his physio place, you know, George
Cruiser
with his CB deal, Tom Dunn as a butcher, got, you know, guys with pizza vans, coffee shops. And I think it's really important. And I think that that's pushed and probably a real good mark that the RPA is doing some good stuff and obviously Restart helping those players when they do finish, giving them the support to develop. And I'm excited. I do think it, I mean, he's just told us about his business partner off air that he's sort of bald, one eye, and there's Tom. I mean, you know, they're both not necessarily oil paintings. The meat's going to have to be amazing. And they're going to, with they're both hats and coats on, they're going to look like those two blokes from Hot Fuzz, ear, or other thing, working in Bath. I can't wait. Just to go down and see him covered in blood, trying to sell me a steak would be a dream come true.
There's a good feature in there. I mean, they do say sex sells in advertising. I'm not entirely sure that Black and White has got that nailed just yet, but the ribeye to die for. Many congratulations on this award. On we scoot to the RPA Blythe Spirit Award, which goes to one of the great friends of our show. He's a top man, one of the greats of the game of rugby, and just an all-round favourite, really. It is, ladies and gents, the legend that is Mr. Alex Corbusiero. King Corbs is dialing in from San Diego. How are you, champ? It's very nice
to
see
everyone.
You.
No, it's fantastic to see you all. Thank you so much for this award. It's very humbling, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
The smile is as big as it's ever been, and this award is, without a shadow of a doubt, going to exactly the right person in 2021. How are you? And I sort of say that in a, how are you? But actually, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Obviously, since the last time you saw me, my hair and beard have recovered. The hair, I'm still waiting for it to fill in a little bit more, but I'll take it from full tins mode. But on a whole, yeah, I'm recovering well, getting back to sort of day-to-day life. Really grateful to hopefully have that experience behind me and just thankful for all the support and the warmth I got from all the public, all the care at Guy's Hospital in London. I'm just really grateful for everyone and hopefully trying to turn what is a tough experience into something positive in the end. And I just feel pretty privileged to be in such amazing company with people who've won this award before. I almost feel like I don't deserve it. But at the same time, I'm just really grateful. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course, when we spoke last time, obviously, you know, you came on the show and everybody raved about your positivity. Obviously, you know, is that continued? You know, are you kind of the other side of it now, or has it made you even more positive to keep pushing forward? Because, you know, you've come over so many hurdles and it's very easy to kind of sink back into the usual routine.
Mate, I think you're spot on. I think obviously the only way to get through the experience I had with the chemotherapy and the cancer is this positivity, it is your mindset. It's a thing you can control the most. But as you get back to day-to-day life, you can sort of feel, you know, you fall back into the old adjustment and you almost at times can forget the gratitude and the appreciation you have for just being back in the moment and being able to have the life that you didn't know if you're going to have or not where you're sitting through those times. So I think sometimes I have my vulnerable moments like everyone else, but I think I've made a promise to myself to try and live with positivity, to try and just be grateful for every moment and use the experience of adversity that I face to sort of better me in life and better my relationships with people and the ones I love and just be a better person because of it. But it's a constant work in progress, and I'd be lying if I said I'd mastered it.
I just want to hold on tight and ride the wake that you create. It's absolutely phenomenal. The question I was going to ask you is that, you know, most people take on something like you've been through, and they take a knee and they stop and they get it sorted and they, you know, they take the time to reassess. I'm not sure you've ever been busier though, have you? You've got Team Corps clothing, you're presenting for NBC, you've got a podcast, you're scrum coach at LA Giltinis, and that's probably about a third of it. is that just life? Is that a conscious decision? Or are you just sort of getting into anything that you can find right now?
It's a conscious decision. I had a fair bit of time to sit on the couch and be able to sit there and not really be able to do much. I'm very grateful to NBC for allowing me to continue to work through my chemotherapy. I think that was a huge factor in being able to stay positive with having something to focus on and keep my mind on and still be invested in the game I love and get to analyze rugby. And I'm so grateful for that. But sitting on the sidelines and reflecting, it also gave me an emphasis to come back with a vengeance and to not, you know, waste any more time and to be as productive as I can. And that's why, yeah, there's Team Corb's clothing, there's Team Corb's productions about to launch. There's the American Rugby Show, which is my other podcast. There's my work with NBC. There's my first love of coaching the scrum at the LA Giltinis. And I'm sure there'll be a few other things in there. I'm trying to emulate my big buddy Haskell there, but not quite as many plates juggling as he is yet.
Are you winning the fight, Corbs, in educating the Americans in rugby, growing their popularity, or is it still a bit of an uphill climb?
We are making big gains over here. I do not want to lie and say, yes, the sleeping giant of America has awoken and all is rosy. But if someone has been over here and been back and forth between here and the UK for the last 5 years, the growth of rugby over here is mind-boggling. From the rise of the MLR to the viewerships that we're able to get for Six Nations, Champions Cup, Premiership, the windows that NBC are able to give us, the World Cups, the US Eagles, I think, are going to have a big uplift on the back of the MLR success. The Sevens programs are running into the Olympics and going well. Rugby here, despite COVID, despite a lot of uncertainty, has sort of risen from the ashes and is coming back with a vengeance in this 2021. And I honestly think it's only upwards from here. And with the sort of rise the Giltinis and the ownership group there and some of the big vision they have for the club, I think it's only going to move upwards now. And it's really about an all-inclusive, everyone sort of band together to get the best for the sport, because then we'll have a market and have a place to watch rugby where it should be in America that everyone dreams and visions down the line. But it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes bit by bit, and it takes sort of that no egos, just amigos vibe to get it across the line.
Hashtag get it in. I quickly want to ask you about the Giltinis, because I've been watching it with great interest. They've got Gitto and Adam Ashley Cooper there among the superstars at the moment. The kit is absolutely sensational. White with a little bit of baby blue and pink for those that like that sort of thing. It's constant sunshine. It's the LA Coliseum. I just wonder if anyone is listening when you put your hand up and say scrum time. Is anyone keen for a scrummaging session? Are you sort of last in, first out type thing? Or are you winning the battle there as well?
I think I'm winning the battle. I'm really grateful to have someone like Dave Dennis at the helm, who obviously coming from Exeter Chiefs and has that sort of Northern Hemisphere set piece mentality. So we've been trying to sort of breed that culture from the ground up. And I think one of the things that I love about the Giltinis and gets me excited is that we are starting from scratch. And this season is the first footprints of a new club and a new organization that have never been walked before. And one of the biggest regrets of my rugby career is I probably didn't leave a legacy or anything anywhere. You know, I left London Irish, transitioned to Northampton. There wasn't that much sort of legacy left there. Very same as I left Saints. There was no footprint or anything I could look back to and say I was a part of that. But at the Giltinis, I've been able to have really full control of our scrum mentality, our setup, our detail, amazing buy-in from the organization and the players. And it's something that I hope to look back on in 4 or 5 years and say I was a part of that. And that's part of what one day I could show my kids or something in the future is a legacy that I was able to leave behind. And that's kind of what gets me excited there. I think the club itself is really exciting. The kit is amazing. I recommend anyone to check out their social medias, because the production of the quality production of what putting out and their content is bang on. And it's only going to get bigger and they're going to beat the drum louder as this season builds on and to the future. It's only onwards and upwards. So it's the Giltinis wearing blue and pink, and they're named after a drink. So that's how we roll down in LA. And I really enjoy it there.
You're a long way from Dorian West's scrummaging sessions at Franklin's Gardens back pitches, aren't you? He'd be very proud, I'm sure. I want to ask you about you in just a moment or two, but I also just with your NBC hat on, obviously England have got the Eagles this summer. What are we going to expect at Twickenham? Give us a bit of intel. Who to look out for? What to anticipate?
I think it's going to be a better US performance than you saw in the World Cup, which is weird to say, but I think considering the biggest hurdles they're going to have facing this England side is the lack of preparation time. They're only going to have about three field sessions together before they roll out at Twickenham. So a lot of the work's going to have to be done over Zoom, installing, trying to get the game plan up. But the actual playing squad is probably going to be as competitive a playing squad as the US has ever produced. You're going to have the sort of bigger name internationals like your Titi Lamisatelli, AJ McGinty, guys like that who you've seen on the big stage in Europe. But then you've got about, for the first time, 75, 80% of the MLR guys coming. And there's some real talent that's going to emerge from there. There's a guy, Mikey Teo, who plays for Utah Warriors. He'd probably play on the wing of 15. Watch out for him. Mika Kruse, another young 22-year-old in the MLR, playing at Utah Warriors. Another exciting player. There is a lot of talent coming through. It's just going to be a steep learning curve running into an England that are going to have some big players that want to make a statement for the Lions, end off the back of a not successful Six Nations. I'm expecting a big response this summer. So it's a very tough ask. But I think Gary Gold, Chris Wiles, Rob Hoadley, what a coaching staff they're able to put together. There's another big name that's going to be announced soon as well, which I think will be exciting, that will get people excited.
Initials AC?
No, unfortunately not. Someone bigger and better than me. But
oh, come on.
There's nobody out there bigger than me.
Never say never.
You'll know him too, Hask. But it's all very exciting for the United States, and it's moving upwards. This is a big task, but it's the first games back after the 2019 World Cup. First window to see those Eagles, and first time to see the imprint of what happens when players come straight out of a professional season at the MLR and get to play some internationals instead of having sort of a summer off and then rolling into the World Cup.
Whenever we work with Corbs, I always feel like I've just tuned into Sports Center in America. I just love it. It's so infectious. And we talked about your positivities.
I love you, Hask, mate. I really do. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, mate. It's only because I'm around good people that I enjoy, and I'm talking about things I'm passionate about. It just oozes out of me, and I really appreciate all you guys, and I'm grateful to have the platform and success I have, but it's also amazing to see what you guys are doing and changing the game for everyone. I'm just a huge fan.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. I just quickly want to sort of finish with the RPA and this award, and you've touched on it already, but you know, there are some amazing people who have won this award in the past, right back to Andy Blythe many moons ago with Sale. But to have them there to help you on your journey, I mean, you are captain of positivity, but have you had to pause at times and just sort of pull yourself through various bits? How have you done that, and where have you found support from the game and RPA?
Completely. I'm very grateful to the RPA at times for the counselling services, the confidential counselling that I've used on and off throughout my time of leaving rugby, and the fact that they've been able to give that support is fantastic. They were the first people messaging me when the news was announced, asking if there's any way they could help or anything as well. I'm very grateful for that support, and I feel very fortunate to have, you know, the resources I do post-rugby from this game, but the work they do across the league supporting players in their time in need, as well as player welfare in areas that I'm a huge advocate for, it really means a lot to have the RPA support. And I think it's very important that having an organization like that around rugby, especially when you see in America and there's not as much of a presence of a union, you sort of really start to appreciate you know, what the organization is and the protections and the support they give the players. And for everyone listening, you know, big fan of the RPA, and they deserve a huge rap for the amazing work they do. And for everyone who supported me from the RPA down, I'm just so grateful. And sometimes I don't feel like I deserve it, but I just want to show my appreciation. It means so much, and I've had some ups and downs along this journey, but the support in behind me is like a wind uplifting me in those down times, and I'm really grateful for it.
Amazing. When you said they deserve a huge rap, I thought you were actually going to spit bars for them, which would be very good marketing material. I'm sure that they'll ask you to come back on that.
Yeah. Let me get the instrumental out. You never know. But no.
I tell you what, Corbs, it is so... We just love checking in with you. If people need a slab or a slice of Daily Uplift, where are they following you? Where are they getting their team called Corbs merch from?
Yeah, so at Alex Corbs on Instagram and Twitter, at Team Corbs on Instagram and Twitter is where I produced a lot of the content that I produced between NBC, the American Rugby Show. There's about to be a lot of scrum coaching content coming out on there as well for all the props listening, and I want to work on their individuals and stuff they can do at home. And then lastly, it's the American Rugby Show, which is my new project that I'm launching. And it's really coming together at the American Rugby Show on Instagram. Check it out. It's more for the American audience, but we're doing some really cool special stuff, especially our Eagle Watch sort of sit down with Nate Ebner, who's a Super Bowl winner and a rugby Olympian, and has just released a book. And it's quite a powerful story. I really encourage people to go check that out. And I would encourage you guys as well to have him on your show, because I think he'd be a fantastic guest.
Good on you. You're welcome anytime. Our door is always open. The kettle is always on. All fall in, please, behind King Corbs. You are truly inspirational. You are an unbelievably deserving winner of the Blythe Spirit Award, this year's RPA Blythe Spirit Award. Keep doing what you're doing. It's unbelievably good fun to watch.
I owe you guys a big thank you as well. I wouldn't have been able to affect people with a message of positivity without you having me on the show and the platform. The amount of messages I got of people who are having a hard time, whether it be through COVID or just any sort of mental health issues or physical health, and they said, I listened to that podcast and you helped change my whole mindset. And to me, that's what it's all about. And thank you so much, guys. And just a reminder to all the men out there, please keep checking your balls regularly. The Urology Foundation, we do something called Tough Nuts Tuesdays, which is the first Tuesday of every month. Just give them a thorough check. Any change that you feel at all, go get it checked out, because the sooner you get it diagnosed, the sooner and easier the road to recovery is. So please do that for me. I promise you, it can happen to anyone and you never know.
Tell you what, you're very good at what you do. Tough Nut Tuesday, we're all in for that. Go and enjoy the San Diego sunshine. What's on the menu for today? I dread to think. It's probably non-stop from 9 till midnight, isn't it?
Got some scrums to gnaws on Huddle. Got a few meetings to do. And then I'm just going to enjoy some time with my brother who's visiting and my fiance.
Well done, Corbs. Love and hugs. Speak to you again soon. Keep us posted. And well done on this once again. Good on you.
Thanks, everyone.
There goes one of the brightest sunbeams in sport. I mean, what? I mean, just everything he touches gives a smile, doesn't it?
I mean, look, when he was a player, Corbs was obviously always a good lad, always brought energy, but he was quite unique in the way he did things. And I feel that this post-career focus has brought the very best out of him. It's channeled him. You know, like we joked when we had him on the show about his quirkiness, the fact that when he talks, he just walks into you like a beige of perfect space, says everything at 200 miles an hour. We said that if he was walking on a clifftop with his missus, he'd nudge her off the side. Like, he's brilliant. I think the fact that he's now got his focus, he's got his energy, I think, you know, he comes across, it is literally like watching a polished American reporter talking about the NFL, you know, talking about the baseball, whatever it might be, and he's doing it about rugby, and he's so passionate. And then to have the journey he's had is brilliant and inspiring and truly deserving of that award.
We can all be a little bit more like Corbs. I'd love to send you and Tins to his American media finishing school. I mean, what a treat that would be.
Tins would not be allowed to say literally.
Yeah.
I'd have to confine my sentences to just tiny sound bites without any swearing.
Amen to that. I can hear editors across the land who work with us going, yes, please, get them in, get them in. Two for the price of one. Well done, Corbs. What a deserving winner. And we're going to move on from one legend to another. In fact, two more. They're coming thick and fast. There are two entrants this year into the Emirates Holidays RPA Hall of Fame. One from the men's game and one from the women's game. Let's start with the men's game, first of all. A true giant. You'll get it pretty quickly when I say 149 appearances for Wales. 9 for the British and Irish Lions, who he will captain this summer as he returns to South Africa. It is none other than Alan Wynne-Jones. We would so love him to have come on the show. He is so wise in that he said, no thanks, I'm a little bit busy. So instead, he has sent us a short, sharp message.
Just a quick thanks to the RPA for the nomination and to the RPA board for their votes to put myself into the RPA Hall of Fame. I appreciate the names that have gone before. I just want to say thank you very much. So thanks and see you all soon.
Short and sweet from the Lions captain. I'm not sure there are many people as busy in the sport as he is right now, when you factor in all that he's got going on, the pressure, etc. You've got your work cut out to get him on our show for a sit-down. Are you up to it?
I just think he's probably better than what we're doing. He's the GOAT in terms of the, you know, his kind of area of expertise. And I don't think he needs to have his reputation tarnished by being associated with anything like myself or you. I mean, you were once a proper professional journalist, yeah, but not anymore. Now you're sort of down with the bottom feeders where I inhabit, which I'm quite happy to inhabit. I'm in the gutter looking up at the stars, mate, and I quite enjoy it. But yeah, but what a boy, what a legend. Keeps it very short and sweet. I mean, I wonder if he doesn't do a lot of interviews. I wonder if you push him, maybe there's a complete different side to him. Maybe he could just about contain himself for those few seconds, that if we got him on here, he's like, you know, potty mouth, going mad, stories, crazy, can't contain it. Maybe he knows better than to reveal the true Alan Wynne-Jones.
Let's spread the myth. I love that meme of Alan Wynne-Jones is watching you. He may well be, I'm not sure he's actually got time to watch this, but maybe he's just sort of, he always knows. That's our challenge, is to have a sit down with the GOAT, the great man. hopefully after a Lions series win. How good would that be? Let's move on, because the women's entrant into the Emirates Holidays RPA Hall of Fame, the first woman ever to be inducted, is an MBE, has played at four World Cups, and is the most capped player in English international rugby union history. She is so flair and so busy that she's driving. She has actually pulled over in order to talk to the biggest rugby podcast in the world. Congratulations, Rocky Clark. How are you? Where are you? And what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm busy. I've been working, and so I've just pulled over on my way home. So all is good. So enjoying a bit of the sunshine this morning, and yeah, just making sure I'm safe and so I can speak to you guys. So it's all good.
It looks like you're off to the airport. You're already getting that Emirates flight on the way, are you?
I tell you what, I'm just going to sit and wait till I get the flight, get the okay, get the ticket. So all good.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll have it couriered over in no time at all. It is a Rocky Clark world. We're all just living in it. Just, I suppose, from your perspective, you have been a trailblazer that I don't want to say for a while, but, you know, for a while. What does an award like this mean to you? Someone who's been there, done it, and got pretty much most of the T-shirts that there are to get.
Oh, brilliant. Amazing. I'm really stoked. It's such an honour to be awarded this. It's, fantastic. And especially after I've sort of finished playing a few years ago internationally, it's a great honour. I feel very, very honoured to get it. So happy days.
What is, and I appreciate this is quite a sort of a big question for someone who's pulled over into a lay-by, but what is the secret to your longevity, your success, your love of the game? I mean, when you reflect now, what is that secret and ingredients that you've been sprinkling on your Weetabix over the years?
Yeah, great question. It's something that I just don't feel ready for it to end, to be honest. That's why I'm still hanging on by my fingernails in the Premiership. I just love the camaraderie with your teammates and that belonging and feeling part of a team. Hot baths are the secret to being able to get out of bed. That has got me through the last 10 years, and great physios always get on well with the medical team. Yeah, just the friendships, and you know, my friends keep getting younger, which is a bit annoying because I go through the rounds of people come and go, and I seem to still sort of hang on. So the people you meet, the places you go, the games you play, and like just still as passionate as I was when I was 22 getting my first cap.
And still scampering about like you're 22. We must say sort of commiserations, I suppose, on the Allianz Premier 15s final. I know it sort of will be a bit of an irritant, but you've won it so many times before. How important to you, and you know, by the sound of it, you're going again and again, but are you looking for a sort of a big finale and a big farewell, or are you just enjoying it and taking it game by game, week by week, season by season?
Yeah, game by game. And, you know, Alex, as the Saracens coach, he's promised to be honest with me. So when the time is right, I hang up my boots, but I still feel like I've got some more to give. So, you know, throw myself into pre-season, see how I go. Obviously, the years are adding up now, but certainly still as hungry and passionate as I was before. And, yeah, we'll just see how we go. I just want to play at the highest level I can for as long as I can. So watch this space, see how we go. But, you know, it would be great when it is my final game, whenever it is, would be to go out on a big high. You know, with regards to the final last weekend, the better team won. They had a phenomenal game, and you know, we're really consistent. So it's, yeah, frustrating, but I'm old enough and long in the tooth to know that you win some, you lose some. So watch this space.
Am I right in saying that post the final on Saturday, you were out on Sunday with Rachel Burford coaching kids and getting involved back at the grassroots?
Yeah, Burford was out the next day and I was out the day after that, so I was pretty sore and still recovering from the weekend.
And how important for you is it to be bringing on the next generation? I mean, you talk about your friends getting younger, but I mean, how important is it that, you know, the ground and the, I suppose, the ceilings you've broken through, that there is a really healthy pipeline of young, talented women coming through?
It's absolutely huge. The youngsters coming through, like, I just want to give back to the game that's given me so many memories and happy times. And, you know, if I can do my bit to help inspire the future generations and even make, you know, one person fall in love with rugby and, you know, help those guys develop and get the best out of them and for them to reach their potential, it's a huge passion for me. And so, you know, I'm probably still be coaching when I'm 90 and probably still playing when I'm 85, to be fair. So, you know, it's all good. Happy days.
Unbelievable. Hask, just a little bit jealous, given you can't walk anymore.
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's not the first time a woman's made me feel very inadequate, but I am extremely, I can't believe how you're still doing it, how selfless you are and what an inspiration you are to so many people. I mean, how genuine, how is the body? Because I can't imagine. I know the hot bath getting to it. I have to sit at breakfast with my feet in hot water to get my ankle moving. Wow. I understand that pain. But you're still faring well?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, few mornings you get pretty stiff trying to get out of bed. You know it's going to be a bad day when you have to do the old pant hook, when you can't bend down to put your pants on. So when you have to stick your leg out and sort of throw a, like a fairy, throw the ring over the prize. It's like my leg is the prize and the pants are the ring. So it's all good. Like, you know, as long as I can still put my pants and socks on, then I can still play. That's my ethos.
Obviously, you know, I think it's great that you've spoken to the coach and said, listen, you know, when it's time to leave and time to end it, do you know exactly what you want to go into? Is it coaching all the way? Because I know a lot of people don't appreciate that so much of what you did was not being professional. You know, the fact that you had to continuously work, you had to do all these games and live a normal 9-to-5 to earn the money to carry on. So it's even more extraordinary. Do you kind of know what you're going to do next? You've got to focus on that?
Yeah, I'm a level 4 rugby coach, so coach at the highest level. So I'm coaching with Sarri's forwards group at the moment and loving that and, you know, developing my trade. And to coach at the highest level, whether it be men or women's. And also alongside that, I've been doing my PT and boot camps and stuff and, you know, doing some of my media stuff as well. So, you know, just fingers in a few pies, keep everything afloat. But, you know, variety is the spice of life, right?
It certainly is. I just love the glamour of the awards. I'd love to know how many people are trying the pant hook right now, just as a little interlude to this show. Just a quick one before you go. And you hear so often about players who like to leave the shirt in a better place than when they've got it. And I can't think of a player for whom that is more appropriate than you. But just when you look back now, I mean, how proud of what you've achieved, but also just that extraordinary growth that you have been an integral part of in women's rugby over the last, can I say, 10, 15 years? I'll just whisper it quietly.
Yeah, I had a 15-year international career. So, yeah, I've been around the block a few times. Now, I'm hugely proud of being sort of one of the stalwarts of the team and being able to go through that, the way the game has been evolving and seeing so many more participants and inspiring the youngsters to come through. That's massive to me. And seeing the team go professional, like, I hold my hat up. I'm really proud of that, and I want to keep the journey keep going for the future generations, and something I'm hugely privileged to be a part of, and it was massive to me to go along that, you know, that very long journey, as you've already said.
I'm just interested in one thing quickly, because you've been around so long, and we've talked about it on the show many times before, that when the old heads and new young players come in, I don't know what it's like in the women's game. Are you really friendly, accommodating, or because you're so essentially big time, do you pretend not to know the people's names? Do you they've got to earn the right?
Everyone is as unkind as you.
I just want to know what you're like. I just want to picture it, because you've got so much experience, and I imagine some of these girls come in, are in awe of you, and every time we've talked to, you know, the women's rugby players, when they were coming up, they didn't have people to aspire to. Now you're that person to aspire to. But do you still like a bit of old school, like, you know, wait your turn, talk to people, or are you super friendly? I need to know this, because I can just imagine it.
Yeah, probably a bit of both. If you ask Kim Oliver, she said that you weren't allowed to talk until you'd had at least 10 caps. So, you know, if you go on that basis, one of my rules was that I don't want to share a room with a new cap, because if they snore or they're, like, you know, really nervous, I need to just chill and have my baths. But, you know, I'd always, you know, if you see somebody struggling, I'd always go up to them, arm around the shoulder, give them a bit of confidence and chat. Like, it's not that I wouldn't speak to people, but there's definitely a bit of old school rock star in there for sure.
I love that. I tell you what your autobiography should be called, if you write it, My Life Between Baths, because that's the secret. I've just thought of it now.
I like that. That could be a thing.
You can have that. That's free from us to you. And we must let you go. I've never said this at an awards do before, but you've got to get out of here if we get a parking ticket, which is...
I do indeed.
This is definitely not Gwyneth Paltrow at the Oscars. It is, however, a thoroughly and very well-deserved award. We will have a bike to you with tickets for a holiday, wherever it is you want to go, on the Emirates Holidays RPA Hall of Fame award winner, Rocky Clark. You're a superstar. Clutch in, first gear, away you go. Speak to you soon.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And away she goes. The one, the only, the irrepressible Rocky Clark. I mean, just someone who puts a smile on her face. I mean, anyone who just pulls over to receive an award has got to be right up there with pretty comfortable in life.
I love it. There's no, like, frills. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, obviously, it was fantastic to hear that the stories. I love that she's a little bit old school as well.
Just makes you feel better about yourself, is what we're getting to here.
I just like to know what it's like behind those, you know, those closed doors, whether they, you know, because, you know, I think women are much nicer and more emotionally in tune, and their sort of, you know, emotional intelligence or IQ is way more superior than ours. But I just like to know that it was like, don't talk to me until you've got 10 caps. You ain't sharing a room with me in case you snore. Don't disturb my baths. And also the fact that she's, like, on the job. You know, like some superheroes don't wear capes. It's like she swooped in to a lay-by to give us the time of day before she's off to inspire, coach, or whatever it is. I love that from her. Great work.
I really want to feel like this is like, you know, it just sort of sums up good, bad and rugby, really, isn't it? It's sort of whatever we do, people are very kind to give us a couple of minutes, but that's all you're getting, sunshine.
That's what I mean. It's sort of like, you know, that whole like shoestring budget. It's like sometimes you've got a studio and everything else like that. Yeah. People are pulling into lay-bys. I wouldn't be surprised if someone doesn't call us for a port-a-loo on the side or something, or like halfway through eating a Ginsta slice. You know, like when your relative's phone, they pick up the phone that's up their nose. Someone's just bumping something as they're driving through.
Good. Rocky, your ledge. Well done to you. The Emirates Holidays RPA Hall of Famer for this year, the first woman ever to be inducted, as we said, is Rocky Clark. A quick reminder as we scoot along that if you'd like to help out, we would be so grateful for your support. And you can do that by donating £5, £10 or £20 to restart the official charity of the RPA. And you can do that very easily. The number to text is 70460. And if you text restart 5, you're donating a fiver. If you're texting restart 10, that's very kind of giving a tenner. And surprisingly, if you text restart 20, you'll be very kindly giving £20. We are hugely grateful to all of you who pick up your phones and pop a pound or two into the pot for what is a hugely worthy cause at a time when it really needs it. So thank you to all of you for that.
If you text Haskell 50 to a similar number,
you will be spamming, and you will be falling foul of GDPR regulations. Don't text.
We're just going to kill the buzz. Don't actually do that because it's not set up yet, but at some point it will be. Now I've realised you can do stuff like this.
Great. I mean, you'll be putting that straight through to Restart as a trustee.
Well, they don't pay me for the trustee stuff, so I sort of need to get a little bit like minimum, you know, otherwise I'll be stopping in lay-bys, whizzing around in between coaching bits too. I like the sort of, you know, the black tie thing in my Fortress of Solitude. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll give a percentage to Restart.
Lovely. Non-committal. Next up is the RPA Special Merit Award in association with Jura. The winner for his outstanding contribution to the game and for becoming only the second Englishman to win more than 100 caps for his country. It is a very warm welcome. Oh, he's even brought the award to the table. Ladies and gents, Mr. Ben Youngs, well done to you.
Thank you.
A rousing speech. Have you prepared a little something for us tonight? Anything you'd like to say? Sponsors, fans, agents, friends?
Thanks to my body for holding up for so long. No, like most players will admit, you can't do it without the support staff and with everyone that helps you get onto the field at the weekends and gets you there. Not only that, I have a very supportive family and wife and kids. So I'm very, very fortunate that I've got a lot of people in my corner fighting for me to do as well as I can and be successful as I can. So it's always nice to get some recognition that doesn't just represent myself, but also represents everyone else that's helped me along the way.
I'm just laughing because we're going to come on to friends and family and all that you've got left in the game. But I sit here looking at you, who've played 100 times. You're at one of the most ferocious clubs in Leicester, and I'm not sure I've ever seen you looking quite so well. Mate, what's happened? What were you doing in your sporting life that Ben has not been?
I don't understand. As soon as he popped up, I was looking. He's looking lean. He's looking tanned. He's looking younger. He's got a full head of hair. He's winning awards. He's got a million caps. What? You know, he's got a smeg fridge, which I'm really jealous about. What is going on? Like, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Are you feeding on the blood of sort of virgins? Or must be doing something.
I don't know what it is, mate. I think the kids keep me young. Playing a lot of golf, getting out in the sunshine. Ball for Steve's, you know, training regime, keeping me running and active. No, it's all good. Thanks, mate. I appreciate the compliment. But I may look young and healthy to you, but trust me, with a few games left this season, my body's just about hanging on.
Has Eddie rebooted the old keep off the Tang Fastics tweet or text? I just wonder whether you've had a little sort of dietitian. You are looking. Oh, hang on. We've got friends and family joining us.
I've got no, my son's just walked in. So
come on. Is that Boris?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Boris wants a bit of the award.
My wife scooped him away.
Brilliant cover defence, Mrs. Youngs. Very impressive indeed. I'd love to see what's happening stage right. Are you fit? I mean, obviously, you say the body's sort of sellotaped together and hang on in there. Are you feeling good?
No, I am. No, touch wood. I just playing up with that. You know, I know that my position is very different to many others. You know, being scrum half, I'm well protected, especially behind the pack that I get to sit behind at the moment. And no, body wise, I feel really good. Mental wise, it's no doubt it's been a long season. So I am looking forward to a break, without doubt. But body wise, it's strange. It's almost like the more you keep going, the better you feel. But the moment I probably the last game finishes and I stop, I probably will feel a little bit sore, which Haas can vouch for in terms of what that's like. You're kind of on the grind, and it's only until you stop you recognise that actually I could do a little bit of a break. But no, I can't complain. I'm in a good spot.
Tell you what, when are you taking delivery of your new bee?
Sorry, yeah, end of August.
That'll wipe the smile off your face very quickly.
Two's pretty busy, and then when the third comes, it's to be fair, I'm like a fourth anyway. So, it's going to be interesting.
There's a permanent one man overlap for the rest of your life. It's tough graft, I can tell you. Before we get into that, though, 100 caps and counting, and you know, so much on the CV, but. Do you stop at this point? Do you ever allow yourself to stop, a little bit of a look back? I mean, are there moments along the way where you immediately are taken to when you reflect?
Yeah, look, I've been very fortunate to have the longevity that I have in terms of my body and what it's been able to do. And you know, I started when Courtney did. You know, I think Courtney made his November internationals. He made his debut, and I made mine in Six Nations. So. But you look at how much injuries he's had, bless him, and stuff. You know, he could easily be on the same as himself or more. But it just shows that I've been fortunate in terms of injuries. So, you know, I've looked after my body, and my body's been kind to me. The highlights to me, you know, 2019 World Cup was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. It was absolutely fantastic. 2016, which Haas can vouch for, was a part of that. You know, coming back and winning a Grand Slam, the summer tour to Australia. There's a huge amount of highlights within my England career, playing alongside my brother. Yeah, there's lots of great memories along the way of that 100. And I guess within that 100 or so caps, it's the people I've met along the way that kind of make it that extra special. The personalities, the characters, the people, the friendships, the bonds. That's a lot of time I've got to meet and play with some great people and get to know them.
I wondered, Ben, obviously Leicester have been going through a bit of a transition period over the last couple of years. England stuff's been going well. The club stuff hasn't been going so well. Steve Borthwick seems to be working his magic. Everyone seems to be playing with a smile on their face. Is it good to see Leicester creep back to where they belong?
It is, Haas, mate. Like, you know, you want to love what you do, and you want to go in and enjoy it and actually see, like, have real, like, clarity. And you want to throw yourself fully into something. That you believe in. I truly believe that what we're doing right now is a stepping stone towards something that where we want to head to. I think we've got great youngsters coming through. So many of those youngsters have had exposure this year, played, gotten plenty of minutes, good depth and good squad. And, you know, I'm excited to play my part in that. You know, it's been a really, you know, the start of my Leicester career was hugely successful in terms of I was with a successful team and things just happened, and I went through the last sort of middle period. It's been extremely difficult, you know, and sort of the demise of the club, and to now be on a path that I believe is one that's going to hopefully, if I time it right, will be about right and be nice. But at least if we don't get some silverware between me and when I do finish, then I know that the club will be in a terrific spot with the young guys coming through.
The fire's still burning bright. It seems to me that you still want to do it. I know it's sometimes quite hard to keep going and resetting before pre-season, but are there things left you still want to do?
Absolutely, mate. I think for me, someone once told me, a wise man, Neil Craig, that you obviously know, Craigie, he said, Benny, there'll be two things that either give up on you. Either your mind will go first or your body. And right now, like I mentioned before, my body feels good. My mind, you know, it's in a good spot. I can, like the rest, like, don't get me wrong, the off season's going to be nice. And those two things will be in a good spot come pre-season, and I'll be able to hit the ground running. So whilst those two things are good, then, you know, you get out and you still have that fire burning.
You mentioned, you've made the impossibly difficult decision, but quite understandably the right one for you, not to do Lions this summer. Are you interested in doing England, or do you need a proper break? You are old enough, ugly enough, you've got enough T-shirts to say, you know, I want to go to the beach and I'll be back when you need me.
ready, ready to go. Do you get that choice or not?
I spoke to Eddie, and you know, I want to do this summer. The best decision for not only myself and the family, but you know, what I wanted to do, what it looks like, what the next stage of my career looks like, and how do I best look after my body to achieve that. And weighed up all those bits, and I made my decision, and then I informed Eddie that, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rule myself out. Now, look, whether I would have made the final cut, I do not know.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know, no, and it was, you know, my hand was forced to actually to announce it rather than just keep it under the radar, you know. But anyway.
Why was that?
I spoke to Eddie, and you know, when you get the email, it's sort of, you know, and then you have to decide, don't you, whether I hadn't got the email, I wouldn't have had to say anything. And then I rang Eddie and let him know that my decision, and like all coaches, and Steve was same, supportive of any individual's decision, and he just said, look, Benny, have a summer, and come back better than ever, and that's what I intend to do.
Trust me, once you've had that third kid, you'll be want to be back. You're going to spend more time at the training ground than you've ever imagined. You're going to be on tour more than you think, Al. So, trust me, because every person we talk to on the Good, the Bad Rugby or today, they always are hiding from their kids in one room, trying to get away from them somewhere else. Jack Knoll, when we interviewed him, you know, he was spending 14 hours a day in the gym.
12 of them asleep, I think.
Yeah, wasn't getting any bigger. So, Ben, I expect to see you back on tour pretty sharpish.
Thanks, Hass, mate. I appreciate that. If I can... dot the I's and cross the T's, mate. Hopefully I'll be back in an England shirt.
Does that mean, you mentioned golf, does that mean quite a bit of time working on the backswing, getting out of the sand bunker over the next few weeks? How is the golf?
No one can save me, Alex. Honestly, no one can save me, mate. I'm doomed. For me, the summer will involve... I haven't seen a lot of my family for a long time because of obviously restrictions and COVID and all that. And there's weddings and there's things that have been pushed back for a year. And you know, I've got lots of things to look forward to, and I'm looking forward to do that. I'm looking forward to just doing normal stuff, I guess. You know, there's plenty of sport on this summer on the telly, which I'll be watching. You know, you've got the Olympics, you've got the football, you've obviously got the Lions. You know, hopefully I'll be in a pub somewhere watching it. And I'm just looking forward to sort of some normality in many ways.
Oh, man. You're a good watcher. Are you a good watcher of stuff like that, or would you get annoyed?
No, I'm fine with it. If I watch Leicester, I'm not involved, then I find it really difficult because I guess you want to be in control, at least have some sort of control within the game. But no, I mean, if it's anything else, then no, I'm fine. I just enjoy watching. I can appreciate athletes.
Good. I've got a horrible feeling we're going to be here in about 7 years' time, Has, because we congratulate Ben on his 700th cap for England and his 14th child. We'll book you in for year after year after year. I know it's not been easy, but well done to you for making, you know, a tough decision and getting it right. And here is to a wonderful summer for you and for your family. And many, many congratulations on not only a stellar career, but also passing the 100 cap mark. It's remarkable, Ben. And you've done an incredible job in what you've done so far. Work on the base tan, which is coming along nicely, and the backswing, perhaps not quite so good. And we'll hope to catch up before too long. Good on you, Ben.
Oh, man. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers, gents.
Does that make you feel old, and as it has been?
Yes. Yeah, a lot. Because I was there when Ben made his debut. I was there, like, he was the young kid, him and Courtney. I mean, Courtney's never, you know, was always towering over me. But I remember those days, and every now and then, I think back about how far he's come, you know, 100 caps, looking great. Like, looks, you know, got, you know, the white top, the tan, full lid, like, you know, time for golf, got wonderful family, you know, playing some good rugby. And also, I imagine playing with Richard Wigglesworth, he sort of must be Ben Youngs' canary down the mine. He sort of, like, just calls him, like, Borthers, Wiggy's still playing? He's like, yeah, I can still play, because we'll forget that Wiggy's probably about 40 now, isn't he? And he's been going longer than anybody else. So I think it's quite nice. If he can still play, then Ben can play. But fair play to him. I think it's very exciting. And I often, when I see his name on the team sheet for England, I just get very excited. A, because he's a lovely guy. But B, what an achievement. 100 caps for your country. You know, I know places in New Zealand and stuff, they appear to do it more often or seem to have a team of 100 cappers. But in England, it just hasn't happened since Jason Leonard, and for him to do that, I think is incredible. I think we will see some more now creep over, but Eddie's changing up the team, so will we see you know, so many consistent players, or will he change it all over? But whatever he's done, Ben has done a brilliant job.
Tell you what, a good summer off. He keeps looking as well as he's looking right now, playing as well as he's looking. I wouldn't put it past him going quite some distance yet. Well done, Ben Youngs. Have a happy summer with the family. Should we crown another winner?
I think we should. Why not?
Let's do it. Let's keep motoring. You are listening to and watching the 2021 RPA Awards. I'm Alex Payne. He's James Haskell. You probably know that by now. Our next award is one of our favourites. It sort of makes me smile. Am I allowed to do that? I know it's a bit odd, but the Mammoth Mattress, England Men's Player of the Year. It's got a lovely ring to it, isn't it?
I keep thinking when we talked about the Mammoth Mattresses, we talked about, I think it was Joe Launchbury in his giant bottom and Bill Beaumont needing the big Mammoth Mattress to take those huge behinds. So if they can support that, they can support anyone. So I'm very excited, yeah.
You know how when players get given awards and they hold them above their head for the photo op? I'm very disappointed that Mammoth Mattress didn't get a photo with Sir Bill, chairman of World Rugby, holding aloft his Mammoth Mattress Hall of Famer last year. They've changed, obviously, jurisdiction this time around. Perhaps they'll get it from our winner this time around. Who knows? There's a photo op for you. The nominees for the Mammoth Mattress, England Men's Player of the Year, are Luke Cowan-Dickie, Tom Curry, and Anthony Watson. And the winner is Tom Curry. Come on in.
Thanks very much for having me again.
It's very good to have you on board. Last year, we sort of danced around a little bit. This year, you're back. Another 12 months under the belt. It's been a heck of a year for you personally in terms of what you've been doing in your studs. And the first person ever to win it twice in a row. Does that, and do you allow yourself a little pat on the back for that? What does an award like this mean 2 years on the trot?
It's weird, isn't it? Because rugby's such a team sport and everything when we train and when we analyse things, everything's done as a team. This is quite rare, isn't it? You get to celebrate something as a player. So no, it's really special.
Good on you. Have you got the award to hand?
I do.
Good. Give it a spin. Mappin and Webb love seeing their awards on the telly box.
A set of rugby posts.
It's a very. And what else would you want as an award but another set of rugby posts? Very useful. I think we were saying to someone else that you can put your post-it notes on left and right with to do today, to do tomorrow. Have you got a little cabinet? I mean, you are hoovering up accolades, awards, man of the match medals, etc., etc. Do you keep these things close at hand or
spread out between mine and my brother's house here and then my parents' house at home? I say spread out, that sounds... No, but like, as in, like, you know, different bits everywhere. So, little cabinet that's...
You'll have to build an extension on the house to, with your new property business. There's the trophy room. Oh, really? Excellent. I've got a trophy shelf. It's not particularly big. There's only a couple of bits on it, but I like the fact that you've got a whole wing. Things split all over the place.
I think trophy rooms might be more appropriate with the way you're going. What do you put it down to the last 12 months? And is it a year in which you felt more and more comfortable right at the very top end of the sport?
You know what? Probably not. It's probably been the least comfortable year.
Really?
And I think having that has probably made me grow a lot more in terms of not just kind of on the field. I think we had a good first half and then obviously the Six Nations probably didn't go to plan. But kind of off the field, just seeing whether that's leadership or learning who I am as a person a bit more and kind of being a bit more uncomfortable in that regard. So yeah, no, it's kind of been a bit more uncomfortable than the last year, I guess.
But what do you therefore put your form down to, which would sort of defy anything that you've just said? In the way you've played, it appears that you're dominating. And how would you separate the two then, between performance on the field, but perhaps feeling a bit uncomfortable with the way it's all panned out?
Yeah, good question. I think I always give everything in terms of, like, whether it's training, game, that's always the mindset and not taking it a step backwards. So I think that serves well. But yeah, just throw myself into things and see what happens, really. Not too much planning ahead, not too much thinking behind. Kind of just throw yourself in each and everything and kind of it pans out, really, and just love it, really. And I think that's kind of learning from previous years, is that's when I do kind of get the best out of myself, is just when I'm fully engaged and just enjoying it. I mean, the points I go into games is literally how fast can I get up off the ground, and that's it. And I let everything else take over. And once I'm doing that, I'm kind of just loving it. And if I'm loving it, then I think I'm playing well.
Yeah. You can say something.
Like, I was going to ask you, you know, obviously because you're having this kind of, what, have a prolonged period of kind of a lot of success on the field. Do you sort of look at how to harness that and continue doing it? Because obviously everybody has ups and downs in their career, but, you know, you talk about getting off the floor. Is there stuff that you're doing to make sure that you consistently every game you're able to keep performing at this level? Because it's quite extraordinary how the how quickly you've developed, and you're only about 15, which is also quite worrying.
I went through probably a period where, you know, you start overthinking things and overcomplicating it and going kind of, well, I need to do this better, and focus on this. And you kind of go into games kind of, oh, I'm worried about what happens if I do this and what happens if they run this. But then at the end of the day, it's kind of like just letting go. You front load your week and kind of get all that detail done. But then ultimately, this is when I was working with Andrew, the psychologist, ultimately it just comes down to getting up off the floor. If I get up off the floor, as quickly as possible, then I'm in the game. Once I'm in the game, I'm having fun. So the only thing I could be worried about is that. So it's quite just simplifying it as much as possible, so that when I go out, it's literally just enjoy it.
Very Vince Lombardi, isn't it? Not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up again that counts. It's interesting. I think since we gave you an award whenever the awards were last year, you've won the Six Nations with England, you've won the Autumn Nations Cup with England, and then you've had a rough old time of it in the subsequent Six Nations with a fifth place finish. The margins in these kind of things are always very sort of small, I suppose. But where do you feel England are at the moment?
I think we're in a really good spot. I think it's hard to say. You probably get a lot of, you know, people like everything's very results focused, but I think ultimately the process is there, which is the exciting thing, and that's the thing probably people don't see. The process of, okay, ups and downs, but the process within the camp of players wanting to get better, the feeling we had in the camp, you know, how hard we trained and how we all felt. So the process was just there. It's just probably the results weren't. And I think that's the really important thing, especially kind of longer-term goals. But we're saying that. We sat here, two out of the three tournaments this season went really, really well. So it's kind of like just putting things into perspective a bit.
My doorbell's gone, I'm back in two.
This is the kind of seamless stuff that we get up to on the Good Bad Rugby or the RPI Awards. I want to know, obviously, you've been selected for the Lions. You had your first meet-up the other day. How exciting was that for you?
Yeah, really exciting. I mean, literally, as soon as you walked into the door, everything was just like bang, was like red. Everyone was wearing red kind of flags. So, no, it was really exciting. Obviously, apart from kind of the boyhood dream of a bag full of kit.
Was that nice? Was it as exciting as you thought it was going to be when you went back into your room and kind of sat there on your own and were like, this is cool?
I was sat on my own wearing all the kit, the jump training kit on top of the hoodies. Nervous flight down, but once you get to meet everyone, the coaches, everyone's down, really down to earth, and you can just get a good feeling. So that was nice.
Did it sort of start to sink in as to what we're, you know, potentially going to achieve? Did you have that excitement? Was it nerves meeting new people? Was it kind of like this is good? I'm here.
Yeah, definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head. It kind of, it did feel a lot more this actually happening sort of thing. I think it's a bit difficult, you know, when the Lions gets announced, you still got like, I don't know how many games we still had, like four or five games plus maybe a semi or a final. So you kind of like, okay, that's nice, but I've really got to focus on Sale. Like that is the thing. So to have like 2 days where you actually go in and actually do, you know, everything's about the Lions for, you know, a day, that did actually settle me down and be like, right, this is really it. Pretty special.
A deserving winner, Hask. As you know, I know you don't necessarily absorb every minute of rugby across the globe, but there's absolutely no debate that the man on camera right now has been properly a standout for England.
I always kind of was solely focused on myself, which you'll find hard to believe. But I've obviously always had a good relationship with Tom, and I, as a player, I've watched him. I think he's unbelievable. You know, I think he's getting better and better and better and better. I think to be talked about by the way he is by coaches and stuff, and to get that recognition for the Lions and what he's doing with Sale in England is amazing. He's a thoroughly deserved winner. He's a good guy. And also, what is maybe really uncomfortable during this entire interview is it's the hottest day of the year and he appears to be wearing some sort of turtleneck fashionista top. So could only be boiling hot, and I can't work out whether it's like a mental toughness test or is it some recovery thing. Talk about what you're wearing.
Thanks for dressing up as well. You obviously didn't get the dress code of black tie.
yeah, no, you're right. I feel a bit underdressed.
What is it? Is that looks like a bit of a fashionista?
It's that warm. It's been raining this morning.
Right. So. Good. Just, you know, sports casual. Very welcome. Come one, come all. It's an open church, this one. Tom, you're a superstar. Your stock is just going in one direction at the moment, and it's really fitting. You've got so much to look forward to. Sale, obviously, in the end-of-season playoffs, you know, the Lions this summer, and a lot of England fans will be very excited to see you back and ripping it up before too long with Eddie Jones, probably this autumn. So well done on this award. As I said, it is one of our favourites, the Mammoth Mattress. You actually, I think, get a Mammoth Mattress. I'm not quite sure which trophy room that goes in. Does that go to the parents or does that stay with you? Do you hang it on the wall? What are you going to do with it?
Cool, I'll hang the mattress on the wall.
Perfect. Along with your player of the tournament and all the other bits.
If you've already got a spare one, you and your brother can do all like wrestling on it and like tackle practice in one of the living rooms. And apparently they're great. cushioning and back support they'll give you as you're flooring each other would be fantastic. And I imagine that's kind of what you two get up to as well, like scrummage. You know, like you say, instead of good morning, you say good mauling, and you have to maul your way to the kitchen until we breakfast. Is it like that, or am I just made all that up?
Sounds like you've got some experience with that.
Poor Chloe, that's all we can say.
If I did have a twin, I think the world may end. Only one of me is enough for everyone.
That is very true. Tom, good on you. Thank you for swinging by. Keep cool. Well done on this award. And we will look forward to seeing you ripping it up on a field not too far away sometime soon. Good
Thanks
on you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for swinging by.
Thank you.
Well done to Tom, the first ever England player to win England Player of the Year twice in a row after picking it up last time out. A mammoth mattress and the very smart Mappin Web trophy, all his to enjoy. Yeah, I mean, hoodies at awards dues. We've had parked cars at awards dues. I'm not necessarily sure that people are taking us as seriously as we'd like to be taken, but he is a serious unit at the moment, making a hell of a lot of headway in an England career, isn't he?
It's brilliant. You know, I think the intensity, it's incredible. I think hopefully we're going to see his brother get an opportunity for England once again. You know, I always think it's interesting. One, you know, you've got two twins, and what separates them, what's different. And I think if you watch Sale enough, maybe you'll be able to tell. I'm always kind of fascinated by that, by both of them, as to how one made it and one, you know, is still up and coming. I'm never really that interested in homegrown background. Like, I like them, but I'm not a player position hater, but I've never really paid much attention to them. But Tom, I think, is very special. I really enjoy watching him play, and he is fantastic, and certainly a better player than I was at this young age. So I'm in awe of what he can do, really.
Yeah, good on him. Go forth and conquer, Tom. It's a heck of a few months for you. We are moving on a heck of a few minutes for us, because for our next award, I'm absolutely thrilled, and some might say it's much needed, to be handing over the baton to our esteemed colleague in the garage that is The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, a rebrand and an upgrade for The Good, The Scouse and The Rugby, quite simply the best player in the world right now. Who are we to argue? Ladies and gents, Emily Scarrett, all yours.
Thanks, Alex. I'm here to present the Allianz Women's Player of the Year Award, and the nominees are Abby Dow, Poppy Cleal, and Zoe Allcroft. And the winner is Poppy Cleal, and she joins us now. Woo! Poppy, massive congratulations. Obviously, this award is voted for by the players, your peers. So how much does this mean to you?
Obviously, it means a lot. I think the history of the award as well, to see the recipients that got it before, Zoe Berner, you know, Nolly, Tamara Taylor, you know, they're like legends of the women's game. So to get voted by the peers, it's one I didn't think that would ever happen. But yeah, it's a massive honour.
That's super cool. So just taking us back, obviously, through your season, you've had an amazing season. Can you pick up a couple of highlights throughout that?
Cool. I think all the teams I'm in, one of the main highlights I had is just the resilience and the character that every team showed, you know, at Saris and at England. I think with the whole COVID disrupting the season, the World Cup getting cancelled, these easy, you know, massive things that can derail a season, and the massive character and heart that every team that, you know, I played in showed, you know, something that I'm proud of when I look back. A particular moment, I think, was the final against France at the Stoop. You know, it was a massive occasion, and I think, you know, we ground out the win and got the win on the day, and that was one that, you know, that will live long in the memory.
Obviously, this is the second award you've won this year, also named Six Nations Player of the Year. What do you think has been the biggest difference this year?
Oh, you know, I think with the fact that COVID happening and the disruption, you just made you super grateful that you got to play and that you got to go out there and play rugby with your friends and do what you love doing. So having that added, you know, firstly pressure that we're one of only a few that are getting to play and getting to play competitively as well. I think that, you know, that helped spur me on and push me on with my performances. But, you know, it's an accumulation of years of hard work. I'm 30 next year. So, you know, all that training and minutes on the park, I should have started playing well, shouldn't I, really? So it's a long time, and I'm glad that I've managed to play some rugby this year that I can be proud of, and I'll look back and I know that it's been a good year.
You're a youngster, Pops, 30. Obviously, you mentioned a bit, obviously, the World Cup got delayed this year. Next year is a massive year for all of us. How excited are you for that prospect?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge season, isn't it? And I'm actually excited to get going with pre-season in July, because it just felt a bit disrupted last year, didn't it? And you think I'm lying, don't you? Who's excited for pre-season? No, but I think to get with the team and do it together. You know, before we were on our own in lockdown in our fields at the back of our houses and, you know, where we could get training and stuff. So, you know, we're going to be together throughout this pre-season. I think, you know, that helps when you're putting in all that effort, that helps have the team around you and pulling you through the days that you really don't want to do, but you do it and feel so good after you've done it.
Most definitely. Well, you've had a massive year. Hopefully there's another big one to come. Huge congratulations, Poppy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Skaz, and many congratulations to Poppy Cleal. I mean, we're talking about bat rowers at the moment who are just dominating. Absolutely no debate that Poppy Cleal is, well, a woman on a mission and making proper headlines for the right reasons, unlike others of us on this call.
Yeah, Poppy's brilliant. Obviously, since we've been doing a lot of stuff with the Skaz and the rugby, which I love every time we say Skaz, she just rolls her eyes. But, you know, because not one of us has our name in the title. It's not the good, the Hask and the rugby.
No,
so she's right that big same. Time. But watching her play and doing a lot of stuff on the women's game, watching Poppy pick up the ball from number eight and just batter everybody and score the kind of those number eight pickup tries, which you don't necessarily see very often. I think, she's on great form and she seems to be getting better and better and better. And I think it's very exciting to watch, and she thoroughly deserves that award.
Good on you, Poppy. Keep doing what you're doing. And can I just put another quick plug out? I know that we definitely don't want to sound like a sort of plea with a bucket, but we really do need your support at this year's awards for all the obvious reasons that we've touched on. It has been a tricky few years, certainly 12 months for rugby in general. And if you'd like to, we would love you to help out by donating either £5, £10 or £20 to Restart, which is the official charity of the RPA. You can do it very easily. Simply pick up your phone, tap in 70460, and you can either text Restart5 for a fiver, Restart10 for £10 or Restart20 for a £20 donation. Every penny counts. Every penny goes to a very valuable cause and every penny will make a huge difference. And genuine difference. So thank you in advance for that. The next award, as always, is a hotly contested one. Last year's winner, Lewis Rees-Zammit, is now a member of the British and Irish Lions squad. The nominees this time around for the Young Player of the Year is Ollie Hassell-Collins, Lewis Rees-Zammit again, going for a double, and Marcus Smith. And the winner, the Sanlam Young Player of the Year, Marcus Smith, it's very nice to have you joining us. Looking smart, looking well, big smile. How are you, first of all?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. I'm enjoying myself at the minute, and it's a massive honour to receive this award. Yeah, shame there's no dinner, but I'm very delighted. My family are very happy as well, so yeah, I'm chuffed to bits.
Many, many congratulations. Let's go very sort of, let's pretend we're TikTok generation. I'm going to pass it through to you.
Yeah.
Take it off your Zoom camera, that's the one. Well done, many congratulations. We'll let the editors hopefully merge that together. It's a heck of an award, this one, and it's due for you for all the obvious reasons. There have been some big names who've gone before in this category, but you know, what does it mean to you to be recognised in this way as one of the, you know, the real hot properties in English rugby right now?
It's always nice to be honoured for individual awards for me, but again, a lot of the credit has to go to my teammates, the Harlequins. They've made me look good this year, and without the forwards, without the backs, I couldn't have done my job. But yeah, also to be voted for by fellow players who I play against week in, week out, again, makes it extra special. And to win this award makes me very happy and motivates me to win more individual honours in the future, hopefully.
And it's obviously the second time you've been nominated for this award. You've also been nominated for the Players' Player of the Year as well. I mean, do you feel at the moment, because funny, if I was thinking just before we started this, that I remember interviewing you, and it must have been a couple of years ago, when you won the Harlequins Young Player of the Year, and it just feels that your journey is really beginning to pick up speed now. I mean, when you get these nominations and you are ticking off these boxes, does it feel like, you know, you are really growing into the player that, you know, I don't know whether you write these things down and you chart your progress, but do you feel you're where you want to be in your career right now?
Yeah, at the minute, I'm pretty happy with where I am. I took a little minor blip in my second and third year, in my opinion. I was trying to refine myself, find the way that suited me to play rugby alongside the way Quins want me to play. And I've had some good, honest chats with some coaches who I used to work with growing up through the age grades, and my old school coach and my mum and dad as well, and my brothers, who are probably my biggest critics. And yeah, they've put me in the right direction. And for me now, it's just the beginning, hopefully. And for me, I've got to keep working hard on my game, keep working hard off the pitch as well, in my leadership and my speaking, and then hopefully I can continue to develop as a man as well as a rugby player, hopefully. But yeah, fingers crossed, there's more to come.
Wise head on young shoulders. Who do you speak to about that leadership element and the sort of the speaking part of what you do? I mean, communication is obviously essential as a 10, but I'm fascinated to know, have you got someone who you can bounce off in that regard?
Yeah, so Craig White obviously has now gone to Sale, but I worked very closely with him when he joined Harlequins for a short period of time, as well as Andy Sanger, who's our development manager at Harlequins, kind of watches all the times I speak in public, all the times I try and deliver messages to the team. He gives me good, honest feedback about how fast I'm going, the tempo of my voice, the enunciation of my words, and then my body language as well, which is huge, especially as the business end starts to come this season. I need to make sure I'm bulletproof in my body language so that not only am I sending a good message to my teammates, but also showing no weakness to the opposition. But yeah, there's some good guys around me at Harlequins. So I still speak to Craig once in a while when he hasn't got his sail hat on. But yeah, there's some brilliant guys I'm working with and I've been lucky to work with. So yeah, they're pushing me in the right direction.
I love the sound of being bulletproof. I'll have a little drop of that in my morning tea, whatever it is you're taking. Tell me how much fun it's been at Quinn's this year. There have been obvious challenges that everyone knows about, but I mean, we were actually funny enough talking on our show last week about the teams that seem to be having most fun are the teams that are being most successful. I'm not quite sure which one comes first, but you boys are playing with big smiles at the moment. And obviously the ladies as champions as well. The club just seems in a fantastic place.
Yeah, obviously we went through a turbulent time a couple of months ago with the departure of Guzzy, who was a brilliant, brilliant coach, a brilliant man. He drove and motivated us very well at the club, but clearly the club saw a different direction. And we've, as a group, galvanised around the fact that one man's gone down in our camp. And I feel as a group we've got a lot closer since that happened. And we've tried to go back to the old Quinn's way, the true identity, and backing ourselves and being unpredictable and playing with a smile on my face, because that's ultimately when all of us play well. You look at the guys like Danny Kerr, Joe Marler, Mike Brown back in 2012, and Jordan Turner Hall obviously has now joined the coaching setup. There's a lot of guys who have dominated the Premiership with Harlequins and are true Harlequins legends. Therefore, the way they're driving training, the way they're turning up to meetings is very exciting, and it's always with a smile on their face, which for me as a young player, it's all I want to do. And I think it's also getting the best out of the older boys. So as a group, we've got a lot closer. And then obviously the women are now benefiting massively from the new way we're going about things. That was a massive result for not just only for them, but for us as a group and for us as a club. It's huge. And we always speak at Harlequins about being the most admired club in Europe. And that's obviously just one step on that for the women's side, but for us on the men's side, we also need to start picking ourselves up and hopefully delivering some top titles as well.
It was a brilliant win. Well done to Rachel Burford and her ladies, the Allianz Premier 15s champions. It's interesting when you talk about Marler, Kerr, Brown, etc. I mean, has your relationship with them, given you are now the sort of commander of the team, as it were, at 10, I mean, have you noticed a change in your relationship with them? Do you get a couple of pegs in the changing room? Do you get, you know, Danny making a little cup of coffee in the morning to look after you? I can't imagine Joe does too much for anybody. But has your relationship with the old guard changed, developed?
Yeah, so when I first stepped in the building when I was 18, I remember John Kingston telling me that if you've got any issues, he said, you're the fly half when you're on the pitch. And if you've got any issues and people don't listen to you, come tell me. But I haven't had to do that because all the older boys have put their arm around me, welcomed me in nicely and told me to just go out there and bat myself and enjoy myself, which is actually very easy to do. And all the communication. So I spend a lot more time with Brownie and DC, obviously, because they're backs. But they're starting to give me good, honest feedback as to where I can improve my game. They're starting to give me honest feedback about how I deliver messages as well as picking me up when they feel I'm doing things well and driving the team well. Then they also give me good compliments and good messages. So yeah, definitely our relationship's improved. I sit near Danny and Brownie up in the change room, which is a bit exciting, especially as a young player looking up to those guys. And then Marler, obviously being from Sussex himself, he's also put an arm around me. We talk about his morning swims on the beach because I like doing that whenever I'm back in Brighton. But they're all brilliant guys for me to bounce my ideas off and for sure, in the last 4 years, I've benefited massively from working with those guys, and I can only thank them, really.
Tell you what, if you keep doing what you're doing, they can only fall in behind. Let's test the work that Craig White's been doing with you and ask you about England. The time is now. The time will come when it comes. Where are you with... Have you heard from Eddie Jones of late? Where are you with the Red Rose?
Yeah, so I've spoken to Eddie a few times recently, and he's given me some good, honest feedback as to things I'm doing well, things I need to work on.
What is he giving you in terms of, I like this and I need to see more of that?
Yeah, so he just wants me to run the game, so be decisive with my decision-making, whether that's run, kick, pass, be decisive on it and act on it, be a ball of energy around the field, both sides of the ball. Don't sit there waiting for opportunities to come. Go and take the opportunity yourself. And then just be brilliant at the basics, both sides again. So make all my tackles when the big boys run down my channel. And then when I've got ball in hand, again, make sure my catch pass is on the money and my goal kicking and the basic stuff is hot on the money as well. Because at that level, obviously, you can't afford to miss. And I know I've still got work to do on all parts of my game, but I feel I'm in a good position at the minute, and Quinn's, the coaches at Quinn's and the players at Quinn's are driving me for sure to achieve my dream, which is to one day play for England.
Good on you. Well done, Craig. Well done, you. Textbook. Let's have a quick sort of check on the end of the season. I mean, it's into the top four, which is fantastic, but you know, the job is not done there. Do you have huge levels of belief at this moment? I mean, you're running hot in all that you do. Are there areas you need to fix and fix quickly? Where are you at with the playoffs and realistic title ambitions?
Yeah, obviously, we're massively delighted to cement our place in the playoffs. It's been a long time coming for Harlequins as a club. I think it was seven or eight years since the last time we were in this position. So we feel extremely privileged and excited for the opportunity again. But we've worked pretty hard for it as a group, and as I said, it wasn't all plain sailing. A couple months ago, we were down near the bottom of the league, and we've had to work hard. The coaches have had to work hard, and we've put ourselves with a fighting chance of winning some silverware, which is ultimately what all of us professional rugby players want to do. And obviously, we're up against some tough competition. Sale are on fire at the minute. Chiefs and Bristol as well are leading the charge. So we know it's not going to come easy, but we've got some few tricks up our sleeve that we're trying to work out now to counter those teams, as well as trying to shore up our defence and make sure our attack is hot as well, so that we can mix it with these big teams. Because we believe as Quinns that if we put our best 80 on the park, there's not much the opposition can do if we can do that.
Quick final one. How good to have fans back, to be able to give a hair a bit of a ruffle and for people there to be able to coo and ooh as they should.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. We had 4,000 against Bath, and running out was unbelievable. I had all my family there and my brothers there as well. So to have my loved ones watching me and supporting me means so much to me. And then for the fans as well, I know how much Harlequins means to them. I know how much they've been missing being at the Stoop, and the atmosphere was bouncing. And hopefully we can get that in a final at Twickenham in a couple of weeks' time.
Good on you. I mean this, and I give this as only a compliment. It is a heck of a lot of fun watching you do what you're doing right now. It's just brilliant to watch, Marcus. You are a thoroughly deserved... Give Map and Web a bit of a blast with the trophy once again. It's a very useful to-do list holder if you need somewhere to put your post-it notes, but it's also incredibly smart and it is thoroughly well-deserved. The Sandlam Young Player of the Year is quite rightly Marcus Smith. Good luck for all that's to come. Stay bulletproof. I love that. And hopefully we'll be catching up sooner rather than later. Well done to you, Marcus. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Cheers.
The winner of the Sandlam Young Player of the Year Award, perhaps the finest hair in the Premiership right now. Are there any other nominees that you'd throw into that category?
I'm trying to think, because there are some players who, instead of a receding hairline, have a preceding one that's just growing further down their face. I think, I'm trying to think of the top of my head.
Dave Ewers, I think, would be in the category for most robust hairline.
Danny Kerr, I mean, he's onto his second lid at the moment and it's looking fantastic. Right. If you're going for someone that hasn't had it re-sewn, then I would say probably Dave Ewers, because it's almost the gap between his eyebrows and his forehead is diminishing the whole time.
Yeah, may have to mow that just to keep clear daylight between the two. We digress ever so slightly. What I did want to ask you about is Marcus Smith, who, I mean, I love the fact he talks about being bulletproof, and a young guy with very wise head on his shoulders, absolutely ripping it up for the club that he loves. We talk about guys just loving life in the sunshine right now. I mean, What would you pay to go back to your career, be 10, good-looking, the world at your feet, just be driving the game?
Well, I mean, I don't know about any of those things, so no. It would be very, I'm not sure how to put my
big money contract, yeah. Bossing around again, the old guard.
Again, don't know anything about that. It couldn't be further removed from it. I think Marcus Smith's another one. Obviously, disappointment not to be involved with England. You know, when I was still playing with England, he was invited in on a couple of those kind of academy or development things and kind of got to experience it. It was obviously, you know, I think he was only 18 at the time and has slowly progressed. I think he's matured. And then you see the way he's performing is second to none. And I think it's another thing where you want the pressure to play for England, but the fact that it hasn't happened kind of means that you could just do what you want and go and play what you want, because, you know, you can't control, you can't make any pick you. You can only just put your hand up. And I think he looks brilliant. He seems to be really maturing. He's a real dangerous attacking flair. And to score some of those last-minute tries, I think it was two match winners recently, you know, two incredible individual efforts. I like that. You know, I like that. And I'm very excited to see how he kicks on. We chose him in our kind of England team for the Canada and USA games. Not that anyone cares what we say. But I would love to see him unleashed. And again, to give that other step up, because, you know, what people forget is the Premiership does not necessarily translate into international rugby. There is a big step up. We talked about Sam Simmons talking about that massive gap. You know, he wasn't ready, and now he is ready. I think Marcus Smith, you've got to feed him in properly, give him those opportunities. And what, you know, what two better teams than USA and Canada to get that experience?
Yeah. I don't think it's the last time. It may be the last time that the RPA Awards ever see us, but I don't think it's the last time the RPA Awards will see Marcus Smith. Well done to him. Good luck for all that's to come as well, both in the Prem and hopefully with England this summer. We're going to keep trotting along, though. We're making quite a good headway, actually. Our penultimate award this evening is the Vodafone Business RPA Players Player of the Year. And the nominees are Semi Randrandra, Sam Simmons, and Marcus Smith. Maybe we will see him again. Maybe we won't. But the award goes to Sam Simmons. Sam, it is lovely to see you twice in a week. Who'd have thought it? Many congratulations on an award that is, I mean, it means a lot to a lot of people, this, and we've got some stellar names who've picked this up in the past. What a year you're having. I mean, you know, it's old friends reunited. I know we had a long chat with you not that long ago, but do awards like this float your boat? Do they mean a lot? Or are you someone who has to keep your head down and just keep doing what you do?
No, yeah, they definitely mean a lot. I think this one in particular is great, and the way that it's picked and the way that you get nominated is from the players that you play against every week and throughout the season. So for them to, I guess, recognise and notice that I've been having a good season and to vote for me is amazing, and I appreciate that.
Did you vote for yourself? Who did you vote
not
for?
Not allowed. No.
You're not allowed?
I voted for Marcus Smith.
Did you vote for Marcus Smith?
Yeah. So
good on you.
Obviously, you're not allowed to vote for anyone at your own club. So it makes it even better that other clubs are voting for you, which makes it a great award to win.
Good on you. Do you get a pat on the back in the Exeter changing room for this? Do you get a goose? I mean, how is a reward, an award like this, received amongst your teammates?
A bit of handshake from Rob and next job.
Right. No victory lap, no sort of, you know, take training off today type thing?
No, definitely not. But right. I think, yeah, once you look back on the season and hopefully we kick on again and have a lot more team awards and potentially another trophy, then you can look back on the season and think, wow, individually and as a team, we've done amazing. But there's not too many, like I said, probably just a handshake from Rob and that's it.
Love it. You get an award, you get a map and a web trophy, you get a bottle of champagne as well. Have you got that close to hand?
Yeah.
Are you celebrating as you go, or are you building quite an impressive wine cellar at the moment with your Man of the Match awards and various sort of tributes and saving it for a sunny day sometime soon?
I think saving it, yeah. We don't actually get that many opportunities throughout the season, you know. The Premiership is a tough league, and especially if you're playing in Europe, you don't get any time off at all. So hopefully save it for after the Lions tour in August, and hopefully the weather's nice and we can pop some bottles then.
Quite right too. Hask.
Believe me, yeah, sorry, would you believe it at the start of this season if I said to you, listen, you weren't going to play for England, but you were going to score, get a Premiership record number of tries, you were going to win Players Player and go on a Lions tour and be heading into a fight? Would you believe me? Is it a bit of a dream come true?
Mate, I don't think anyone would have believed that. It is a dream come true. It's crazy. It's been an unbelievable year. It's been an unbelievable last, you know, two seasons, really, down at Exeter, and as a team and personally. And I think I said to you a couple of days ago, I just try and keep thinking next job, like onto the next thing, because teams and games come quick and fast, and you know, if you sit back and rest on your laurels a little bit, and you can kind of get swept up in it all. But pretty happy with how the season's gone, and hopefully wins.
I wondered if you've got a pair of like lucky pants or something, or if you've got something that you're trying to cling on to. Because if I was playing and doing all this stuff, there must be something you're like, you have to turn the light switch on and off three times or do something, or you know, your teammates have to pat you on the bum. There must be something you're doing to keep it alive.
I know Sladey definitely went through a stage of very OCD. I think he had to turn the light switch on and off about 100 times before he went to sleep. But I've never been someone that's superstitious or have to stick to a routine. You know, I like actually changing what I do on game day or what I eat and stuff like that. So I guess no luck to it. It's just next job.
Coming towards the end of the season, obviously this is where it all counts. Are you slightly concerned that a man of your complexion with this sun shining could be debilitating? Like, what are you preparing to do to deal with that? Because I don't want to see you running down it and slowly run out of power and just turn into a beetroot.
It could happen. There's a lot of us gingers down in Exeter, and I remember playing a couple of years ago in London, and obviously at Twickenham in the final, and I think it was like 27 degrees. It's like absolute cauldron up there as well. So, I mean, yeah, there's a few of us having to do some warm weather training. It might get us down Exmouth Beach to do a little bit more heat training, but, you know, in a couple of weeks, I should be used to it, factor 50 and all.
Night games in South Africa, thank the Lord, because that could be solar-powered Sam Simmons would be, would be gunning for it. It's obviously been a remarkable year for you, but in terms of getting to this stage of the season now, this is where it all counts. Are you guys happy? Have you got what you need at the moment, Exeter? Are you tweaking, tinkering? You know, where are you at in the big plan?
Like you said, this is the business end. This is where it all matters, to be honest. Like, it is a bit of a marathon, the Premiership, and you do have to get into good positions at the end of the season. And I think that we've built well over the last 5 weeks to push us up into that top two. Still a bit to do, you know, we still need to try and secure a home semi, but we feel like I feel like the squad's good. The squad is confident in where we're going, and out of everyone else in that top four, we've kind of been here a little bit in the past, and hopefully that shows. And like I said, we're very confident in the next couple of weeks and trying to nail down either first or second.
And have you got a little bet with yourself about the number of tries you finish on?
No, some boys like to try and say push it up to 25 or to 30 or something like that. But
30, Jesus, wow!
I love that as a choice as well. I love that as a choice.
Yeah, I think I will take.
I wanted to take one and I couldn't get it.
At the start of the season, like I said, I've always loved scoring tries, but you never think, you know, you're going to get this record. It was never anything that came into my mind, but you know, as the season goes on, and you, like I said, I enjoy scoring and it helps the team, and you know, if I can get as many as possible, then ideal.
I'm interested because obviously you talked about on the show when we interviewed you, the fact that the Exeter boys at the start were, you know, like joking with you and it wasn't really a thing. And then as soon as they found out you could break the record, they're now pumping your tyres up. You do know that obviously if Exeter keep the form going, if you run over the try line next to any one of your players, they'll probably pass it to you. and that could be the best way of breaking the record. If you want to score 10 more, just chase everything to the try line and go, lads, hit me, make a deal with them, and you could get 30 and no one will ever break that.
That'd be very selfish, wouldn't it? Very selfish. I don't know.
But it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea. Great idea, yeah. Shock horror, I came up with a really selfish idea for self promotion.
You chased every person that crossed the whitewash for 15 years and still only ended up with two, I think it was.
No one liked me, that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Sam, it's been a remarkable year. It really has. And there's so much more to come. We were saying this the other day, but it is really good fun following your journey right now. And we wish you all the very best. We would love you, if you've got 2 minutes, to stay, because we've got one more award to do. And we'd love you to welcome the person on, someone you know pretty well. The award is for the Champagne Bollinger RPA Moment of the Season. It's the first of its kind to be voted for by members of the public. Well done to all of them. And one of the members of the public has won a Magnum of Bollinger, and Oliver Rawlings from Potter's Bar is the winner of that. Congratulations to you, Oliver. A bottle of Bolly, a big bottle of Bolly on its way to you. The RPA will be in touch directly after the show for you to arrange your prize. Drink it sensibly. Put it on ice. Save it for a sunny day. However, the nominees for the Champagne Bollinger RPA Moment of the Season are Tom Stevenson for amazingly completing 5 marathons in 5 days. Well done to you. England's women for the Grand Slam win against France. And last but not least, Sam Simmons for his try-scoring record. And would you believe it, the winner is Sam Simmons.
Oh, well.
More champagne on its way to you. You are the Champagne Bollinger RPA Moment of the Season recipient. The prizes, they just keep coming. Surprise?
I wasn't told that. So that's amazing. Thank you very much.
Good.
Keeps coming, which is ideal. Yeah, thank you.
Not a bad problem to have, that.
No, yeah, it is.
Keep winning awards, keep scoring tries. Like, life could be worse, bud.
Well done, you. I mean, it is remarkable. And it is, you know, it's a bit like Ronan O'Gara in Europe. You know, I don't think anyone will ever overtake him as record point scorer. And if you keep going the way you're going, I can't see many people getting close to the record you're setting anytime soon. I think the one thing that has been a bit of a disappointment over the last 12, 18 months or so is that we haven't seen much in the way of proper celebs from you. I think, there's a little bit, it comes, it goes. Are you a bit disappointed by the fact that we haven't got an Alan Shearer finger in the air or, you know, a proper celebration yet?
That's the thing. I don't know if we're, you know, the same level as football celebrations yet. It doesn't really come into rugby, I guess. It's more like you celebrate with the boys, you celebrate, you pretty much get mobbed as soon as you score, so...
Have you got an Arab Spring in the locker? Have you got a sort of Lee Sharp corner flag microphone route Elvis hits?
No, Joe can do a round off into a backflip or something like that.
Nice.
He doesn't score too many, so...
How about you lift your shirt and you've got, like, instead of the Superman logo, you've got SS, Super Sam Simmons, or
I'm not sure SS, I think the historical connotations of that
would potentially... Triple S,
all right.
Super Sam Simmons.
Got you.
I don't know. That's a very different show.
Very different show.
I think you'd get more stick than good. You'd definitely bring a lot of trolls your way, and if not, just on Twitter or something like that.
You can have some of mine. I'll share. It's not a problem. Take a bit of heat off me, but I'll be fine.
I don't think some of the boys were sharp about it, so it's better to just put it down.
We have in the past just campaigned to bring back the old school handshake, and I wonder if we might have a little bit of that. I mean, you've got time in the season just to... Will Carling was a master of a very fine try and just a firm handshake and not too much fuss. I just wonder if there's a bit of that possibly.
Maybe, but I think boys get a little bit irate down here when we score. Rob's a big one for celebrating tries, like getting all 15 in there and just jumping on each other. And like I said to you a couple of days ago, that was a huge part of the best part of playing, isn't it? Is scoring. And when we were told we weren't allowed to, we took that pretty hard. But I think just a little pile on is probably good.
So Rob actively encourages team huddles in celebration.
He encourages us. You know, that's for that 1 minute maybe before the kick's taken is when the true emotion comes out and the celebration and elation of scoring a try. And he wants that to come out because it just adds to your game. And then once you get back to halfway line, you reset yourself. But that in-the-moment thing is what he wants.
Good on you.
I love that. Maybe you should look into maybe doing a champagne shower if you missed the start of the show.
That won't be making the final cut.
it's just an idea, isn't it?
Been told not to go there. Just a champagne celeb of some sort. Perhaps, what we could do, given the way you're going, is have a bottle of champagne in the in-goal area at every time Exeter or the Lions attack. That would be a lovely touch. Great sponsors endorsement opportunity.
That would be ideal, yeah.
I'm liking how Sam also claimed that, you know, that obviously the Premiership don't get many opportunities to celebrate and have a drink. Coming from Exeter boys, I mean, I think, you know, I love how you're going with that as a PR angle. No, we don't do that. You run your own side of business. And every time I see one of you lads, you've been on some sort of celebratory thing, because obviously Rob loves to celebrate tries. And loves to celebrate off the field. So
there's a lot to celebrate if you like celebrating tries.
Yeah, we just had to turn it down a little bit. The more professional the game has got, you now have to...
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah, I buy it.
Do you ever take champagne and champagne flutes on the return journey home? Or is it a little bit more can, bottle, back of the bus?
Yes, cider, specifically rib tickler, a couple Heinekens. Yeah, it's never really champagne.
Sam, we've got another 4 awards to give you over the next... No, we don't really. That is your lot, I'm afraid. Two is more than enough for 2021. But as we said the other day, it is a lot of fun watching you do what you do at the moment. And here's to many more champagne moments for you in the next few weeks and months. Good on you. I promise you we'll leave you alone now. We've been in your wing mirrors a little bit too much recently. Well done to you. Many congratulations on both of these awards, and get stuck in.
Cheers,
it's going to be a lot of fun watching it. Look after yourself. We will speak again soon, and well done once again on both of these awards. Thank you, Sam.
Cheers. Thank you.
There he goes. A man, I mean, just having so much fun in life right now. Well done, Sam Simmons, Vodafone Business RPA Players Player of the Year and the Champagne Bollinger RPA Moment of the Season. I mean, how good must life be when everywhere you turn, someone's giving you champagne and award and just lauding what you're up to? Did you have any moments in your career like that?
No, sadly not. I'd like to say that was the case, but no.
And legal that, situations.
Yeah, I mean, I would say actually what's interesting with the Sam Simmons thing is obviously you can see how desperately he wants to play for England.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a great example of when things are out of your control, you can only do what you need to do. You can only control how you perform and keep putting your hand up. And the very fact that after every single game, people are asking the same question, and for him just to look like he loves what he does for Exeter. They seem to have an incredible team spirit down there. They're unbelievably well coached. They're getting better every time. And he's just gone and cracked on. And then to get that award, you know, to get the RPA Players Player of the Year award is a huge, huge accolade. I think it's probably the most touching award we have in our game, because it's voted for by the players. And I think, you know, he's also a really good lad.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I know every time I pick a team, what do we do on our teams on the Good Bad Rugby, people always like, oh, Haskell always picks people on what he's like off the field, nothing to do with on the field. I'm like, that's important. You know, rugby has many good values, and I think he epitomises a lot of them. And I'm very excited to see how he goes on the Lions. I'm excited to see if they get to the Premiership. And he just seems to love what he does. And that, as a sports person, is all you can ask for.
You're so right about that love and desperation to play for England. And it's such a difficult game to play that in order to keep all parties happy, to let people know that it's what you want more than anything else, but also not to get it wrong in the process. Many have tried and many have failed in that, but I hope and I'm sure we will see him in white not too long after we see him in red again. Well done, Sam. Actually, a very quick nod as well, not only to the two other players nominated for the Player of the Season, Semi Randrandra, box office, Marcus Smith, incredible, but also to Tom Stevenson, who pulled together that remarkable effort of the five marathons in 5 days and is winning his battle at the moment, and to England's women for their Grand Slam win against France. They really have got the number on the French at the moment, and there's a lot to look forward to for the women's game in the next year or so. But well done, Sam, for claiming both of those. I think we're at the finish line, which is, it feels like a steadier ship this year. Does that mean we're dovetailing better? It feels a bit smoother.
Well, it's a bit like Ricky, well, I thought it was a bit like Ricky Gervais when he gets asked to do the Golden Globes and then just offended everyone and thought, well, I didn't do a good enough job first time around, so I'll go into it this time. Mm. I think we have been steadier, and I don't know whether we'll be invited back, because I think the chaos, carnage, sailing very close to the appropriate and inappropriate line is what is our kind of moniker and why we're so successful. So maybe we've underplayed it. Maybe it's just too stable.
Right. So, do you want to go back and do it again?
Well, we could do. Maybe we come back next year. If that happens again.
Yes. Can we have a third series?
I'd like to do it in person next year. Can I ask a favour? I know even if it's virtual, even if you want to do it like that, I want to do it in person. I miss being in the same room with you and these other people. Even if we have to see Rocky Clark in a car park again in between jobs, then, you know, or meet Tom Curry when he wins the England Players thing for third time in a row wearing a boiler suit. Whatever it is, I want to do it.
I think you hanging out in car parks is fodder for the Mail Online, so we might try and meet Rocky somewhere a little more similar.
Not again. We've moved a long way past those days.
On that bombshell, thank you to all the awards sponsors. Thank you to Pickstar, who have been very generous supporters of the RPA Awards for 2021. Hask is available for any in-person events, marketing campaigns, guest speaking, brand ambassadorships. I'm not sure we'll tick the Skills Clinics box, but well done to you. And finally, well done to all of our awards winners. It's been, as we've said, a really challenging year, but it does just feel like the lights are beginning to go green again. The world's beginning to spin more normally on its axis, and it is so good to have fans back in stadiums, and hopefully a lot to look forward to in the weeks and months ahead. Well done to all of the winners once again. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you would like to pop a pound in the pot, a quick reminder, 70460, and text either restart 5, restart 10, or restart 20. We would be unbelievably grateful, and it makes a huge difference. Until then, who knows if we'll ever be back doing this again, but it's been a lot of fun, not once, but twice. Any final thoughts, Hask?
No, congratulations to everyone. Enjoy it. As you said, fans are back in the stadium and so much more rugby to play. This is not the end. This is actually the beginning of where the business starts. So I know they give out awards just before the end, but there's many more accolades to win, much more excitement and lots more drinks and lots more champagne to be sprayed.
Yes. Which one is it? It's not the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. That was Churchill, wasn't it? On that note, I'm not sure that makes the final cut either. Anyway, somehow we've got to get out of here. So we're going to say thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Well done to everybody. Enjoy your summer and all that's to come. There is a lot to look forward to. Be kind, be nice. We'll be seeing you again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to the good, the bad and the rugby. It can't have been easy.